Whether a business owner is preparing their company for sale or simply wanting to maximize its profit potential, one of the most challenging tasks involved is that of increasing sales without increasing expenses to the same proportion. With the skyrocketing volume of advertisements that the public is exposed to every day, the effectiveness of many of today's advertising outlets are simply delivering less revenue per advertising dollar spent. And while generating word-of-mouth and referral-based business has always been the most cost-effective and desirable method of growth, for most companies, it has been a hit-or-miss process and very unpredictable at best. In this edition of VR Audio White Papers, Peter King, VR Chief Executive Officer and VR President Joanne Lombardi, addressed this challenge through an interview with Bob Berg, author of the underground best-selling business classic, Endless Referrals, Network Your Everyday Contacts into Sales. Through this interview, Peter and Joanne will help you understand Bob Berg's endless referral system and how you can begin to immediately put this highly effective principles and methods to use, maximizing the value of your business. Having sold more businesses in North America than anyone, VR is committed to being a valuable resource for our clients. In keeping with this commitment, VR developed these audio white papers to provide information that will enable you to consistently grow and improve. We hope you not only enjoy, but also profit from the following information.
Bob, what exactly is the purpose of the endless referral system you've developed?
Peter, one of the biggest challenges for anyone in business today, and at one time or another, depending upon cycles, market conditions, and other variables, will at times be the same for practically everyone, is running out of new, highly qualified prospects with whom they can share their products or services. We know that once they have the necessary relationship with the person, they can help them immeasurably. But without that potential customer or client knowing this and knowing about that business person, all the expertise in the world does no one any good. Not the individual business person or the person who could benefit from their product, service, or assistance. There'll be times when a business person, salesperson, entrepreneur, what have you, will go through stretches when so many people are telling them no, they begin to feel as though they might eventually run out of prospects. The implication is, once that happens, you know, once I run out of prospects, well, then I'm effectively out of business. Eventually, they might even ask themselves, who do I talk to next, now that my original list of names has run out, or is running out? When it gets to that point, desperation sets in. And now, if you're this person, when speaking to any new prospect, you've totally lost your posture. I define posture as when you care, but not that much. In other words, don't get me wrong, you care, but while you'd prefer the person be interested, you're not emotionally attached to the results. That's a very important attitude to have. Why? Well, as you know, people tend not to want to do business with those who need them too much. On the other hand, when you have posture, a polite, humble posture, never arrogant posture, people are much more attracted to you. They think more highly of you, mainly because you appear to think more highly of yourself. And you do think more highly of yourself when you know you have a lot of people to choose from, a lot of people to choose who you want to do business with. That's why the way to have true posture is to have a huge list of high quality and qualified prospects and referrals, and with many of them eagerly spreading the word about you and the terrific product, service, and/or expertise you provide. That's the entire purpose of the endless referral system. The great thing is that even if they haven't benefited directly from what you do in your business, it doesn't matter. So long as you've proved you have expertise in that area, and that's very easy to do, then it's fine. They have that trust in you, and trust, both in you and your ability in your field, is a key factor.
Really? Then it's both a mindset of abundance and, more than anything, confidence, which we all know is very important. Sometimes we even have to imagine we already have that confidence before we have it. But what I like about the endless referral system is that you show the listener how to do the right things, the cause and effect that keeps filling up their prospect list with highly qualified prospects, which results in that confidence.
Bob, you say the Endless Referral System is built around the concept of networking, but isn't networking a word which can be interpreted many different ways, and not all of them good?
Joanne, you're absolutely right on the mark. In my opinion, far too many people still hold to the antiquated and preconceived notion of networking as the stereotypical slick, fast-talking salesperson who sticks a business card into the hand of everyone they meet, blabbing on and on about themselves and their business, and saying really clever things like, hey, let's do lunch and have your people call my people. Obviously, that's not networking. Instead, that's, well, actually, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's certainly not networking.
And we've all experienced the person doing that.
Well, exactly. And I can't think of too many people, direct prospects or potential referral sources, who would respond positively to that. Joanne, my definition of networking is simply the cultivating of mutually beneficial give and take win-win relationships. And the emphasis is on the give part. When done with genuine caring about the other person, their wants, their needs, their desires, and when following a specific system, a proven method of operation, in this case the Endless Referral System, it will result in a huge and dramatic increase in one's referral-based business and just the sheer number of A-list quality prospects.
Bob, one thing I like that you do is touch upon what is probably the most basic, the most elementary aspect of the sales process. You call it the golden rule of networking. Please explain it and why it's so important.
Absolutely. It's simply this. All things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. Now, I know everyone listening to this already knows that. They either learned it in Sales Training 101, you know, the very first course they took when they got into sales or business, or most likely knew it intuitively. But how often as human beings, and I think we're all guilty of this from time to time, do we meet someone and really all we're thinking is, wow, this would be a great client, or he or she knows a lot of people, or they're in a business that would have connections to a lot of good potential clients. I wonder if they can do so-and-so for me. And even having that attitude is going to be transparent, and it's not going to elicit toward you in that person the know you, like you, trust you feelings we're talking about that are so necessary. Of course, Peter, that saying has been around for a long time. I certainly didn't make it up. But I encourage the people listening to this to study that one sentence and consider all the implications involved. Repeat it to yourself and consider it again and again until the principle involved is totally internalized.
That's absolutely true. I would imagine that everyone listening to this, myself included, has had an experience where they bought or chose to do business with one person even though their product, delivery, price, or some other factor wasn't any better, maybe even slightly less attractive than that person's competitor's product. And if you got right down to figuring out exactly why, they simply knew them, liked them, and trusted them more.
Exactly. I know I've done that plenty of times, and practically everyone I've ever spoken with about this has said the same thing. I mean, obviously, when we say all things being equal or just about equal, we're assuming the product, service, knowledge, and other physical areas are comparable. Obviously, doing a lousy job for someone won't get you any future business from them, and in fact will turn out to be totally counterproductive. But assuming all else is equal or even close to equal, that know, like, and trust factor will be the difference every time. I mean, think about it. As business people, our goal should be to develop and cultivate relationships with new people to the point that they feel so good about us. They know us. They like us. They trust us. They want to see us succeed. They want to help us find new business, and they want to be a part of our lives. You do that with enough new people, and between them and the people they know, you're going to very quickly and significantly develop what I call an army of personal walking ambassadors.
And I want to discuss that, the personal walking ambassadors, in just a moment, but it's so true what you're saying about the know, like, and trust factor.
Joanne, my opinion is that anyone who approaches every new potential relationship, keeping in mind the golden rule of networking, will in and of itself find himself or herself 9 steps ahead of the game in a 10-step game.
You speak about following a very specific system for networking and creating an endless stream of referrals. What do you mean?
Well, let's start off with my definition of the word system. I define it as the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles. The key word is predictable. In other words, if it's been proven and documented that by doing A, the system, you can accomplish B, the results you want, then all one need be willing to do is A, and they know that they can have their desired results. Predictability is the key. Just like a McDonald's restaurant, you don't go in there and try to change their system. You follow it and you succeed. Now, that doesn't mean you become brain dead and stop innovating. It simply means that you base your actions on proven fundamentals that work. You and Peter and your development and operations team have set up a wonderful system that enables and empowers your intermediaries to become the best of the breed in terms of helping their clients maximize and realize the value of their businesses. That doesn't mean you don't continue to bring out new tools and implement new strategies, but what it does mean is that everything you do stays in total alignment with what has proven to work. McDonald's never stops bringing out new potentially profitable products, but you know what? They always keep the French fry machine back and to the left. And to the degree that the McDonald's franchisee follows the system, to that degree, they are most likely to be successful. I love how Michael Gerber, author of the classic bestseller, The E-Myth, describes the benefits of using a system. He says, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, systems permit ordinary people, and I certainly qualify as such, to achieve extraordinary results predictably. We could also turn that around and say, without a system, even extraordinary people find it difficult to predictably achieve even ordinary results.
Wow. I love it. Bob, you talk about the law of 250. What is it, and how does it apply to building a referral network?
Peter, it's been documented, most notably by Joe Girard, author of the best-selling classic, How to Sell Anything to Anybody. I'm not in love with the title, but the book is excellent, that everyone naturally knows about 250 people. This includes everyone from immediate family, distant relatives, close friends, sometimes acquaintances, your accountant, postal carrier, hairstylist, etc. People belonging to your church or synagogue, social groups, etc. Every person you meet also most likely knows about 250 people of that same kind, and many of the people they know are from their business lives. So when you meet someone, you don't really know who you're meeting to the extent of who they know. It might be a much more powerful and potentially profitable contact than you may even think. But think about it. You meet someone new in some particular situation, whether a business event or chance introduction. Every time you cultivate a know you, like you, trust you relationship with that person, with just one new person, I mean with that person feel so good about you. They know you. They like you. They trust you. They want to see you succeed. They want to help you find new business. Every time you do that with just one new person, you've actually just increased your personal sphere of influence by a potential 250 people every single time. Do this consistently, and in virtually no time at all, you'll be working with an absolutely enormous, humongous personal sphere of influence yourself.
I've found this to be the case so often. Don't assume you know someone from a first impression, and more importantly, don't assume you know who that person might know from a first impression. Some of the most lucrative business contracts have been the result of a relationship with someone that, if you just looked at them and took them at face value, you might be tempted not even to bother with them. That's one reason why, aside from it being just the right way to be, showing respect to others and giving them the benefit of the doubt can often prove to be very profitable.
Peter, that's a great point. Bob, it's all dynamic and very positive. Now, please tell us, what exactly are personal walking ambassadors?
That's a great question. These are people who not only know you, like you, and trust you, and not only want to see you succeed and help you find new business, but they are so willing to champion you and your cause that they will tell everyone about you whenever they learn about someone needing your product or service. Just a few of these people can help increase your business significantly. Your goal, and what you'll do by following this system, is to develop what I call an army of personal walking ambassadors. You might say that is the ultimate in leverage, a powerful form of duplicating oneself so that, in essence, you can be prospecting without even having to be there.
You know, a popular buzzword or buzz term we associate with networking is working a room or working a crowd. Doesn't one have to be pretty slick or self-confident type of person to do that effectively?
Ha, that's a great question, Peter. Many people feel they're not good at, quote, working a crowd because they're not, in their opinion, great conversationalists. Why don't they feel they're great conversationalists? Because they don't have the gift of gab. They're surprised when I tell them that's the very reason they are potentially the best at working a crowd or room full of people. You see, someone with the gift of gab may speak eloquently, but a truly great conversationalist tends to listen much more than talk. And they ask questions that get the other person talking about that which they find most interesting, namely themselves. I mean, we've all heard the old saying, the people we find most interesting are the ones who seem most interested in us. For example, have you ever been in a conversation where the other person let you do practically all the talking? Didn't you sort of come away from the conversation thinking to yourself, wow, what a fascinating conversationalist that person is? Well, let's discuss some of the questions we can ask that will immediately begin the relationship building process, the rapport building process. These are very specific questions, and we'll look at them in just a moment. By the way, one excellent way of working a crowd and positioning yourself as a true center of influence is, after you meet several people, introduce them to each other. Tell a bit about them and suggest ways they might be able to benefit one another. Again, very little talking, lots of great positioning. Please don't worry about being slick, and your self-confidence will grow as you begin to apply these principles.
So, you were mentioning some very specific questions that anyone can ask. In fact, from reading your book Endless Referrals, I know you call them feel-good questions. Frankly, they seem pretty simple, but I can see the power of them. Can you talk a little bit about these feel-good questions?
Yes, feel-good questions are questions specifically designed to make that person feel good about themselves, about the conversation, and most importantly, about you. They are, and this is important, they are not prospect-y in nature. They're not personal or intrusive. They are simply questions that, by their very nature, will make the other person feel good. Again, about themselves, about the conversation, and about you. Feel-good questions, Peter, are the first step toward accomplishing the all-important know you, like you, trust you feelings toward you in the other person. Again, the key point is that these questions will not come off as invasive or intrusive. Although I have 10 feel-good type questions, please know you'll never ask all 10 in any one conversation. First, you'll never have time to. Secondly, if you did ask all 10, you would in fact come off like Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes, as though you were interrogating the person, and you definitely do not want to come off that way. Typically, no more than 2 or 3 feel-good questions is best. Still, they're all good to know depending upon the person and situation. Let's look at just 2. If you were to ask only these 2 questions, you'd find a remarkable difference in the response you get from this person as opposed to others in conversations where you spoke mostly about yourself and your business. My suggestion is, as soon as you learn them, go out and ask them in your very next conversation with someone new, or even with someone you've known for quite a while. Watch the response. Question number 1. Steve, or Mary, how did you get started in the widget business? Let's say Pat sells copying machines to businesses. Now, I call this the movie of the week question because most people love the opportunity to tell their story to someone. This in a world where most people don't care enough to want to know their story. Be sure and actively listen and be interested. Question number 2. What do you enjoy most about what you do? It might sound more like, wow, Pat, that's really fascinating. I'll bet you've had some great experiences over the years. Tell me, what do you enjoy most about what you do? Again, something very positive to associate with you and your conversation. So often we're taught in sales to immediately find that person's pain. Well, I believe that's counterproductive for two reasons. One, this person might not be a direct prospect, so there's no use in asking a question that's going to bring about a feeling of pain with which he or she will then associate with you. But also, even if they were, the fact is they don't know you well enough yet to share their mistakes and miseries. I mean, you might as well ask, so Joe, tell me, what do you hate most about what you do? And while we're at it, how about this wretched excuse for a life you live? I mean, that is not going to establish the feel-good feelings about you that you want. No, instead of finding the person's pain, find their joy. What do you enjoy most about what you do? So a nice rapport has begun to be established. Only now is it time for what I call the one key question.
Bob, this is one of the most powerful networking questions I've ever heard. I'm amazed at the responses I get. So please tell our listeners, what is the one key question and why is it so significant?
Yes, here it is. And Joanne, I strongly suggest that this question be asked only after the initial rapport has begun to be established. The one key question is as follows. Joe, or Mary, how can I know if someone I'm speaking with would be a good prospect for you? Dave, that's interesting what you do. I don't know much about the technical aspect of it, but it sounds like a great thing. Tell me, how can I know if someone I'm speaking with would be a good prospect for you? Why is this question so powerful? First, just by asking it, you've separated yourself from practically everyone else. It's the first indication that you're someone special. You are probably the only person he has ever met who asked him this question during the first conversation, or perhaps during any conversation ever. You have also just implied that you are concerned with their welfare and wish to contribute to their success. Most people would already be trying to sell their own product or service, but not you. I mean, basically, you've just said, Susan, help me to help you. Tell me exactly how to know how to add financial increase to your life. Is there anyone who wouldn't appreciate your asking that question? And you can be sure your new prospect or future referral source will have an answer. Let's say you ask this question to Gary, who sells copying machines. After thinking about it for a moment, after all, he's surprised by the very question, he responds, well, if you're ever in an office and you notice a copying machine and you see that next to that copying machine is a waste paper basket, which is overflowing with tons of crumpled up pieces of paper, that's a good sign that copying machine has been breaking down a lot lately, and that would be a great prospect for me. People you meet from now on will be glad, more like delighted, to answer that question. Will they appreciate your sincere interest? You bet they will. Again, that question will be the first indication to that person that you are somebody special and different, a person worthy of doing business with, either directly or by way of referrals. You know, in the many years since the first edition of my book, Endless Referrals, was published, and of course I speak on this topic at company conventions nationwide, I've been contacted by so many who've told me that one question, that one key question, has transformed their business lives. They've seen the look of disbelief in their new friends' eyes, astounded that they've been asked such a question. And from there, a very profitable relationship has begun. I see two reasons why. One, you've given to this person the feeling and knowledge that just by associating with you, their success is going to increase. That, of course, right there makes you more attractive to that person, who then feels a vested personal interest in cultivating an association with you, which includes giving back to you. Secondly, though, and more importantly, is that it causes you to think of ways you can help others, thus taking the focus off of yourself. As Stuart Wilde wrote in his book, The Trick to Money is Having Some, the secret to success is to subjugate your ego and serve others. Remember, in a free enterprise-based economy, the amount of money you make is directly proportional to the number of people you serve. Often, before you serve them or their referrals, before you serve them directly through your products or services, you'll serve them through other sources, such as the referrals you give to them.
Bob, that's great if our VR clients or a member of their sales team is talking to someone who owns their own business or who's in sales. But what if they're speaking with someone that is in a completely non-sales position? Can they still effectively network with these people for potential business?
Absolutely, yes. Remember, to become a master networker, we're not going to prejudge the person we're talking with because we know he has a sphere of influence of around 250 people. So if your VR clients or their sales professionals are talking with someone in a position that's not related to sales, they can still ask a variation of the one key question that will still begin to build the know you, like you, and trust you relationship. For example, you could ask a question like, John, how can I know if someone I'm speaking with is someone you'd like to meet? For example, they might be a comptroller for a company and thus not directly involved in the selling process. Or they might be the CEO of a mid to large-sized company that doesn't involve themselves at all in the sales aspect of their operations. I remember once when I was in local sales, I was speaking with a person very high up in his company. During the conversation, I learned that his daughter, who had just graduated college, was looking to get into a certain field. My one key question to him then was, how can I know if someone I'm speaking with would be a good contact for Donna? You should have seen the look on his face. I must have been the first salesperson or business person he'd ever spoken with who took his eyes off of himself and actually involved himself in his problem or situation. He was very appreciative of my asking, and you can bet I did my reconnaissance work and found that contact and introduced him personally to Bill. Now, did I get Bill's business that day? Absolutely not. He didn't need my services that day. But when he did, I got the nod and plenty of referrals afterwards. Why? Well, it wasn't because my services were necessarily better than anyone else's. Oh, I mean, I certainly believe them to be, but I know that wasn't the issue. Bill gave me the business because he knew me, he liked me, and he trusted me. After all, I took interest in that which mattered deeply to him, his daughter, Donna, and her happiness and success. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. I love all 10 of your feel-good questions, but as you said, just those first couple, along with the one key question, are enough to get anyone improving their conversation skills right away. Now, in Endless Referrals, you also mentioned the acronym, FORM. Could you please explain that?
Yes, form questions, FORM, which have been around for a long time, so I certainly can't take credit for them, are another type of question that allows the focus to be on your new contact, prospect, potential referral source in a way that he or she will enjoy. FORM is an acronym that stands for F, their family. F, their family. People love talking about their family, don't they? Their talented spouse, athletic or straight-A getting son or daughter. Important point, let them focus on their child. Don't add, oh, my son did even better than that. O is their occupation. We discussed that already. Please note, however, that even if the person is not in any type of active sales position, feel-good questions are still appropriate to ask. How did they get started? What do they enjoy most about it? Those questions work for everything, including the next form, FORM question, the R, which stands for their recreation. Do people enjoy talking about their recreational activities? Absolutely. Often they are totally and completely passionate about them and will talk about them for as long as you allow them to. Do they ski, play tennis, collect stamps? Whatever their recreation, ask them about it. They'll be very responsive. And finally, the M stands for their message. What do they find most important? Are they involved in any causes, such as charities, that they enjoy discussing?
So, you meet someone. You go through the process of asking these questions. Of course, you get their business card, but understand you teach people that it's not really important to give the other person your card. Why is that?
Peter, you're exactly right, and I bet you're a little surprised to hear that from a guy who speaks and writes on the topic of networking, right? But think about it. What are they going to do with your card? I'd say either throw it out that night, or maybe keep it in their Rolodex, or maybe even in their computer's contact management file. Probably never to be seen or heard from again. I mean, they already like you, but that's as far as it will go at this point in the system. But here's the key. You have their card. You're in control as to how the relationship proceeds. By the way, remember, if you're at a public event and you meet several good, quality people, remember that before the event ends, you should introduce some of those people to one another. For example, Gary Thomas, this is Ann Jones. Now give each one a good, edifying introduction as to what the other one does. And Gary sells copying machines to businesses, and Gary Ann sells telephone equipment to young upstart businesses that need to update or modernize their telephone equipment. Now, they're both impressed that you remembered that. Take it a step further, though, and let each other know who would be a good prospect for the other. Remember from the one key question you asked, you might say, "And Gary was telling me something very interesting. He was saying that if you're ever in an office and you notice a copying machine, and you see that next to that copying machine is a waste paper basket which is overflowing with tons of crumpled up pieces of paper, that's a good sign that copying machine has been breaking down a lot lately, and that would be a great prospect for him." Now, Gary is flabbergasted, but now you say, "And Gary, Ann was telling me something I never would have thought of. If you're ever in an office of just several people with several different individual offices, and you notice them talking to each other through Dixie cups with a long string attached, that just might be a sign that company needs to modernize their telephone system." Now, Ann looks at you like you're the greatest thing to ever come along. But now the coup de grace. You say, "Hey, I know the two of you both find yourselves in offices a lot. Why don't you two exchange a bunch of business cards and look at some of the ways the two of you can do some cross-promoting or cross-prospecting for each other? That way you can really leverage your time and credibility."
Wow, that's great. I can imagine what they're thinking right now. I've just met this person maybe for the first time 30 minutes ago, and now I'm talking with him or her again, and all this person wants to do is help me with my business? This is such a flip-flop from the attitude and actions of the average networker that it can't help but differentiate you from everyone else they typically meet.
Oh, exactly, Peter. Exactly. And hey, at this point, they still don't have any idea of what you do or have long forgotten it. But that's okay. You have their business card. And again, you're in control of how the process and the relationship is going to continue.
Okay, Bob. That sounds good up till now. But still, all we've managed to do is to get someone to like us. In order to leverage these relationships for their business, our VR clients are going to have to follow up. And I know, to most people, follow-up is a big pain, and the results are just not always there. Please tell the listeners how your endless referral systems is different in these regards.
Like anything else, follow-up can be both a royal pain and not worth the effort, if you're doing it incorrectly. In the Endless Referral System, we teach a follow-up method that time after time will predictably position your VR clients as the one person or company that their prospects' referral sources will think of whenever your clients' products or services are needed, either by them or by someone they learn about. Once they get the pieces in place, it'll be like clockwork, and for just moments a day, will pay off in huge dividends.
So, briefly, make it simple for us. What are the quickest, easiest, and most profitable follow-up methods?
Let's take a look at just one idea that will get anyone started in the positioning process. It's sending a personalized handwritten thank you note card. I know, simple, right? Please follow along. This will make a huge difference in your business. First, handwrite this on an 8.5 by 3 inch, so it fits nicely inside a number 10 envelope, note card. This note card has some brief contact information as well as a small professional picture of yourself and a very brief benefit statement across the bottom. A benefit statement is simply a very short, succinct statement of the benefit, as opposed to the feature, of someone doing business with you. For example, "I'm a stockbroker" or "I'm a financial advisor" is a feature statement. It means nothing to a potential prospect because it brings no benefit. Instead, a benefit statement for a financial advisor might be, "I help people create and manage wealth." Powerful and brief, fits right across the bottom of the note card. And remember, this note card is not a direct response piece, but simply a note that can be used to send a thank you, or for simply keeping in touch and at the top of your prospects' minds. It's simply to position you in a great way in that person's thoughts. You're just beginning to carve out the niche you want in his or her mind. For a downloadable sample of my personalized note card, just send a blank email to bobscard@getresponse.com. getresponse.com, B-O-B-S-C-A-R-D at getresponse.com, and one will automatically be sent right back to you through an autoresponder that you can use as a model when taking it to your printer. If you're driving in a car right now, please do not fumble around for a piece of paper to write that down on. Wait until you come to a stop. Just send a blank email to bobscard@getresponse.com. Even though it says Bob's Card, it's not my business card. I haven't carried one of those in 15 years. It's a model of the note card that I just explained that you can use to send out. Now, written in blue ink has been proven to be more effective than black ink, both business-wise and personally. It reads, "Hi, Mary. It was a pleasure meeting you. If I can ever refer business your way, I certainly will." Then sign your name, or best wishes, and then your name. Please do not include your business card or make any reference to what you do. You might ask, why do I need to include my picture? Remember the saying, out of sight, out of mind? Let's face it, regardless of how quickly you elicited their good feelings toward you, the minute the event is over, they leave to their own challenges. They meet other people, handle different situations, etc. You want to give them every opportunity to remember you and picture you as the person who made them feel good about themselves, both by the questions you ask them, remember, feel-good questions, as well as introducing them to others and so forth. As such, a small, classy, professional picture will go a long way towards this end. In most communities, you can mail this letter before midnight, and it will arrive at its intended location the very next day. A letter that shows up at the person's desk or home, personalized, handwritten, with blue ink, with your picture on it, the very next day after you meet, is a nice touch. And remember, don't put this through a meter machine, put a regular stamp on it. Now, a person might ask, but what about email? Can't I just send an email note? Well, of course, you can do anything you want. However, if you truly desire to separate yourself from the masses, then make your first personal note of the paper and ink variety. This has always set the top producers apart, even more so now that email has taken such strong hold of our mode of communications. After that, email is an excellent idea when appropriate. However, realize there is little that can rival the emotional feeling in someone of receiving a personal, handwritten note of thanks from someone they just met. And when you do it on the setup that's been suggested, it's even that much more effective. In fact, let's look at what you've done. You've shown, again, that you have a lot of class, and, again, that you are conscientious. You've shown, again, that you are a person worthy of doing business with directly or having business referred to. And just as important, here's what you didn't do. You didn't come on strong or try to hard sell. You simply thanked the person for meeting. We all like to be thanked, don't we? And you also let this person know, once again, that you have her best interest in mind with the promise to make an effort to send business her way.
So, Bob, at this point, what can you do to position yourself as that person they want to do business with and refer to others? Can our clients begin to maximize your initial efforts and position themselves as real centers of influence within their communities?
Absolutely, Joanne, and that's a great point. Your VR clients who are looking to maximize the value of their businesses through networking can do this very simply by giving and connecting. Connecting others continually and constantly. It's introducing Gary and Ann, who have complementary services which they could easily cross-promote, thus both benefit big time. It's always asking yourself what you can do in order to add increase, financial and otherwise, to the lives of those within your network, both new and old. Refer business, suggest good books or magazine articles, supply information that can help them to help their child who is a soccer player. Again, introduce people to one another who might be good for each other's business, and lots, lots more. The more you do this, the more people will see you as a great connector, a true center of influence. Now, you're at a point where you can always contact this person, either to talk business directly with them or even ask for referrals.
Bob, I read one of your points and I thought it was really key. It's what you call the secret of the superstar networkers. Part of what you describe is the grand paradox of networking. Can you please explain?
Yes, the secret of superstar networkers begins, though this is not actually the secret, by understanding that the more you give to others in a genuine and caring way, the more abundance that will come back to you. Of course, the paradox is that you cannot be demanding or emotionally attached to the idea of having to receive directly from those to whom you gave. Doing that will position you negatively, not positively. People will forever be suspicious of your motives. Instead, just trust that the many seeds of goodwill and increase you plant will come back to you. And they will, many times over. Understand, of course, there are people who will simply never buy into that concept and will think those of us who believe in it are naive. All I can say is that the results have proved otherwise. But there's a good reason for that. Obviously, when you consistently give in an intelligent way to others and benefit them, they want to do for you. They want to tell others about you. They want to see you benefit as well. And the more you do this without the emotional attachment to receiving in kind, the more powerfully you affect them and the more they feel as though they know you, like you, and trust you. Superstar networkers, instead of having the attitude of, how can the people in my network help me, continually ask themselves, how can I help those in my network? Now, the big secret is that superstar networkers focus on connecting with other successful givers. And they tend to refer each other to those in their networks. And before long, a huge web of superstar networkers is formed, each of whom are focusing on helping the others in their network. And while helping the others takes very little in the way of resources other than a bit of thought and time, the rewards are so lucrative, you'll be amazed and delighted.
Bob, let's skip way ahead if we may. Let's say that our VR clients who are listening have either been doing business with someone or feel the relationship has developed to a point where that person would be glad to refer them to others. One of the biggest challenges I know that most people have is in asking for referrals that they actually get them. More often, it seems, if you just ask for referrals right out, you get a blank stare or the person thinking really hard before finally saying, "Well, I can't think of anyone right now, but when I do, I'll call you." And then they rarely, if ever, actually call. How do you overcome that?
Great question. And in a sense, it's really where the rubber meets the road. Because you can have the best potential referral source out there, but if that person isn't the type of person who thinks of these things on their own, but simply needs to be asked and asked correctly, and if your VR clients don't know how to ask correctly, they're leaving a fortune on the table and denying many potential customers or clients the chance to do business with them and benefit from their services. So let's look at one very effective way of asking for referrals so that you get them. The biggest mistake most salespeople or business people make when asking for referrals is asking too broad a question, such as, "Do you know anyone who might be a good person for me to help?" or "Who do you know who might be a..." See, either way, you're asking this person to go through their mental filing cabinet of about 250 names, perhaps more than that, and try to choose some. Very difficult for most people to do. Sort of like when you're asked if you know any good jokes. You probably know hundreds, but if you're like I am, can't think of even one at the time you're asked. Instead, it's a good idea to help the person isolate people in their mind's eye. That way, though you're temporarily limiting the field, you're providing much more opportunity for your referral source to come up with names. And once they begin to provide names, their natural memory will kick in and they'll begin associating other people with those they've already named. And you'll begin to expand the boundaries as well. That's when it gets fun. Let's help our referral source to isolate. By the way, I learned this method from the great sales teacher Tom Hopkins in his best-selling book, How to Master the Art of Selling, which you can purchase at the local bookstore or at Amazon.com, or you can check out his website at www.tomhopkins.com. So let's take an example, Gary, whom you met a couple months ago and have now progressed to the point where the two of you are having coffee and he's ready and willing to refer people to you. You know that Gary is a golfer, so you ask, "Gary, do you generally golf with different people or the same people?" He replies, "Oh, I usually golf with the same foursome every week, Peter Brentman, George Benoit, and Nancy Santos." So he's just come up with three names. You now ask, "Would any of those three be good prospects for whatever it is you do. Perhaps one of them, two of them, or none of them at all. It doesn't matter. Now go to another scenario. You know he's been in Rotary for 15 years and has never missed a meeting, which he's very proud of. You don't ask him if anyone in Rotary, because it might be too big a club. Instead, you ask, Gary, in your club, is there anyone with whom you're especially friendly, maybe sit next to every week? Oh, sure, he replies, and it names four more people. Would any of them be people I should speak with? To which he says maybe yes or no. You can now ask about any other business or social organization to which he belongs. The more you know about him going in, of course, the better, until you begin to get some names. Perhaps Gary serves on the board of directors for his local office products association. How many people serve on the board with you, Gary? Oh, there are six of us, including me. So, you know there are five other board members. That's a small enough number. Gary, picture in your mind's eye each of those five. Would any of them, and then again, go into the benefit of your product or service? Remember, he wants to help. He knows you, likes you, and trusts you. You can even go through what I call the Yellow Pages Rolodex, beginning with job classifications A to Z. For example, who is your accountant, banker, chiropractor, dentist, electrician, and run the alphabet. Understand that once he gives you the first name or two, it's a piece of cake. The most difficult one to get is the first. After that, his memory will begin to relax, and with all the parameters you'll help him set, he'll soon start giving you plenty of names. In fact, before long, he'll be coming up with one name after another. Don't interrupt, just sit back and take names. Once you've received enough, now you can go back to them individually and have him help you qualify them. Do this on a consistent basis and you'll receive a ton of referrals from people who are not yet even doing business with you directly. And of course, the more referrals you receive, the more referrals you're in a position to receive from those to whom you were referred. I mean, one of the best advantages to seeing a referred prospect, beside the fact that they come a lot more qualified, is that they are already of the mindset that you are a referral-based business person. After all, that's how they met you. So providing referrals for you afterwards is something that will seem quite natural.
Bob, that is really powerful. I can see that just by having a system like that for actually asking for referrals, our VR clients can generate some predictable results rather than the hit and miss scenario that usually comes for asking for referrals. Now, I would like to ask you just one more thing. I understand you're a huge believer in testimonial endorsements. Could you explain this further?
Peter, there's simply no doubt about it that third-party credibility carries much more weight than anything we might say about ourselves. After all, if we say it, it's selling. If a third party says it, it's true. To me, third-party credibility via written endorsements can best be summed up by the great copywriter Joe Polish, who wrote, "What others say about you is infinitely more believable than what you say about you. So let others say it."
Well, Bob, we've covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. I'm excited because I know this information could be really helpful for empowering VR clients to maximize the value of their companies. Is there any concluding thought or message you'd like to leave our clients with?
Just what I call the law of free enterprise, which states the amount of money you make is directly proportional to how many people you serve. So if you want to make a lot more money, then find a lot more people to serve and serve them well. Of course, one of the most powerful ways to do that is through building a real referral machine using the Endless Referral System.
Thank you, Bob.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing with us.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
This audio white paper has been brought to you by your local VR Mergers and Acquisitions office. Specializing in privately owned and closely held mid-market companies, VR's experienced team of highly trained intermediaries can powerfully represent you throughout a merger, acquisition, or divestiture process. As your advocate, a VR professional intermediary provides a discreet, comprehensive, consultative approach to each and every business transaction that is unrivaled in the mergers and acquisitions industry. Because VR only recruits the most seasoned and experienced professionals and trains them in our proprietary M&A system, you can rely on every VR intermediary and team to bring to you exactly the same level of service and professional resources that a much larger company would receive from the finest top-tier investment bank. We invite you to call the phone number printed on the back of this audio package. Find out for yourself why VR has sold more businesses in North America than anyone, and more importantly, how we can help you.